This is Doug Miller. What about the four carpenters? What about the four horns? What about Israel? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back with the book in hand, and I am opened up to Zechariah in the Old Testament. We will get into chapter 2 this time. I said last week we would get into chapter 2, but we didn't quite make it. But the joy of it is that we don't have to make it. We can take all the time we need to go through this book because, after all, we've got eternity. And there is a great blessing in this word. It is food to our hearts and souls. It is a light to our path. And friends, there can be no growth or profit in the Christian life without being saturated with this word. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Zechariah chapter 2, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the assistance of the Lord's people. Please, please pray for Dialogue. If I sound like I'm begging, friend, I am begging. And of course, I don't mind begging for this. We need your prayers. And you're the only advertisers we have, so tell others about us. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. I cannot tell you how encouraging it is to just get letters from listeners. If no more than we're praying for you, we're out here. Here I am at the crossroads of, you know, County Road so-and-so, and just came in and tuned you in. Write us. Our mailing address? Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, we can accommodate you on that, too. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay, dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, be happy to talk to you. Our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, and that will be, I'll get back with you, okay? Now, I told you last time, on September 9th, we restarted the Bible study. I lead a Bible study every Monday at noon at Oklahoma Station Barbecue at Northwest 50th and Meridian, and that's noon to 1 o'clock, and we took off for the summer, but we've started that up again, and I'm going through the book of Revelation, and any of you out there who are in the area, or not in the area for that matter, if you wish to drive that far, bring your Bibles, come along, you can eat lunch there, the barbecue's great, the Word of God is even better, so come along and meet with us. And I'd be happy to see you, and you'll profit from it. Okay, let's see what else we've got. I think that's all of the announcements we have. Let's get into the Word of God. Now, the book of Zechariah. In this book, Zechariah goes from the very point for, that he's prophesying in time, all the way forward to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I mean, he goes through time and space as if he were a prophet, which is exactly what he was. And, of course, the Lord God is not bound by time and space, is he? And he knows the end from the beginning. And what we learn here is really some wonderful stuff. Now, when we were in here last time, I was talking to you about the vision of the four carpenters or the four artisans. And, you know, Zechariah saw the four horns, those that scattered and wasted Israel. Those are easy enough to identify. And, in fact, in Daniel, they are named even. They are, of course, not at the time that Daniel sees the vision of the great statue, but later on he sees a similar vision. This time it's of four wild beasts. And Daniel names them. Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, all except the fourth power. He does not name at any time the fourth power, but we know from other things that he wrote that this fourth power are the people of the prince who is to come. The people who destroyed the temple the second time, and that was in 70 AD. And of course, the prince who is to come, whom I believe is the Antichrist, is clearly out of this group that he calls the people of the prince who is to come. It is, once again, the people of this fourth horn. Now, the four carpenters, we saw them last time. Who are these guys? These are the guys who destroy the four horns that scattered and destroyed Israel. Now, you're going to have to listen to me carefully, because we've got a little overlap here. These four carpenters are, in three of the cases, the same guys that the four horns were. Okay? All right. One of the carpenters is Medo-Persia. The second of the carpenters is Greece. And the third of the carpenter is Rome. This fourth empire, this dreadful empire that Daniel said it was like nothing I ever saw. It was iron. It devoured and it destroyed, and there was nothing like it. Now, take note and listen to me carefully. God used these same powers to pass judgment on those who destroyed and wasted his people Israel. Now let me tell you something, and don't you ever forget it. We have, in this second chapter of Zechariah, a statement that it is well worth taking seriously and listening to, and it is this, that anyone, and this is in Zechariah 2, verse 8, anyone who touches Israel is touching the apple of God's eye. And you lift up your hand against the Jews, and you'll get it. Judgment will fall. And all of you today who are listening to me, you had better listen carefully. Those who teach that God is through with Israel, it's just a matter of time. You will pay for this. Those who teach that the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob somehow belongs to the Palestinians, it's just a matter of time. You look back over history, anyone, whether we're talking about the nations of Europe, and all of the nations of Europe at one time or another have persecuted the Jews, they fell under judgment. You look at what's happened to Europe, and you tell me. Look at England. England got it too. They persecuted Israel, and they fell under judgment. And I am telling you, this is exactly what God uses other nations as his instruments of judgment. He used Gentile nations to judge and to chasten and to correct Israel. He used the Assyrians to do it. He used the Babylonians to do it. But these nations that he used, they also fell under judgment. The Assyrians, harsh and hard judgment. The Babylonians, what happened to them? Well, one of the four carpenters came along and wasted Babylon, and that was Medo-Persia. And the Medo-Persians, they didn't treat the Jews any better. And what happened to them? Along came the next carpenter. This was Greece. This was Alexander the Great. And he buried the Medo-Persian Empire, and he wrecked it and wasted it. Well, what happened to the Greeks? Well, they turned on Israel, too. It wasn't just Israel. But this is who God is looking at. A Gentile nation might waste a Gentile nation, but you lay hands on Israel, and you will come under the judgment of Almighty God. And what happened to the Greeks and to Antiochus Epiphanes and to the Ptolemies and to these others that took part in the destruction of and the persecution of Israel? Along came the third carpenter, and this is the Empire of Rome. Now, I hope I haven't confused any of you here, but what happened? Well, we got the so-called Peloponnesian War going on in Greece in about 368 or something like that B.C., and the Romans absolutely buried Greece. Now, let's just think about Rome. That accounts for three of these four carpenters who were used as instruments of judgment on these Gentile nations. What about this fourth or this third carpenter, Rome? We've got four carpenters, but we've only dealt with three of them so far. Well, Rome is quite a different case, isn't it? Every one of these kingdoms, the horns that we looked at last time, every one of them, whether we're looking at Babylon, Medo-Persia, or Greece, they were all conquered from the outside and wasted and destroyed. The Romans were not wasted and destroyed by conquering forces, although there were certainly, you know, Gentile powers that came in there and looted and... But Rome really fell apart from the inside, didn't it? It's very different than the others. And when it fell apart, guess what? Much of it stuck around. Rome, in a sense, never really fell. And what the Romans did, it is still around, and we are still dealing with it. And this is the legs and the feet of iron. This is that terrible, dreadful beast that Daniel saw. And he saw it more than once, and he talked about it. This is the beast rising up out of the sea. This is the harlot riding the beast in Revelation. It is Rome, friends, and don't you forget it. Now, for those of you who you may be Roman Catholic, and you may be saying, well, I don't like the sound of that. Well, you don't have to like the sound of it, but I am not personally identifying this Rome with the Roman Catholic Church, although the Roman Catholic Church is very much a remnant, something left over from the Roman Empire that has endured all these years. And when I say the Roman Empire never really fell, a part of the reason that I can say that is because of the Roman Church. Now, let's just think about this a minute. And we are still in the first chapter of Zechariah, aren't we? But we need to lay this, get this groundwork laid. And I thought I would be farther along than I am, but nevertheless, let's just think about this a minute. Christianity, as it exists today in this world, can hardly be called a product of the first century Christians. First century New Testament Christianity exists in the world today here in pockets and small groups here and there. Here and there, the Lord has done a work and he has kept it alive. But much of Christianity today is something that grew up out of the amalgamation of the Christian faith and pagan idolatry, which came about when Constantine wedded the church to the Roman Empire. Now, once again, you can either like it or not like it, but what I am telling you is the truth. When Constantine came along and made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire and therefore of the world, all of a sudden all of these people started getting saved, didn't they? Well, if you believe that, you got another thing coming. They can call themselves Christian, and they came over and got baptized by the hundreds and thousands, and they brought with them all of their pagan gods and all of their pagan holidays, and Constantine's title was the Pontifex Maximus, and I don't believe the man was ever saved. I've never seen any evidence that he was. It was a marriage of convenience. And from that time forward, so much of what has passed for Christianity has been absolutely appalling. All right? Now, do I say that there are not saved people within the Roman Church? I never said such a thing, and I never will. There are many saved people, I am sure. But I can tell you this, anyone who is in the Roman Church and is saved, got saved exactly the same way I did. You're not saved by ingesting the body and blood of Christ turned into flesh and blood by a priest pronouncing, talking about the Mass. You are not saved by praying to Mary or praying to the saints. You are saved, friend, by believing the gospel, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You are saved by believing the gospel plus and minus nothing. Now, I certainly didn't say any of that to offend anyone out there in the Roman Church. I said it because it's the truth. And I will say again, there are plenty of saved Catholics who have believed the gospel and have gotten saved. And they're my brothers and sisters as much as the saved Baptists or the saved Presbyterians or any of you who've been listening to me know how I feel about denominationalism. I don't like it. I'll have no part of it. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. But understand that the Roman Empire, and this is the point I've been trying to make, I don't know how well I've done it, is still around. It never really fell apart. So who is going to finally and ultimately punish Rome for what it did to the Jews? The fourth carpenter. This, I am persuaded, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will come back and who will destroy, finally, this evil, wicked empire. And you can read about it in the second chapter of Daniel if you want to read about it. This is the stone made without hands that Daniel saw that smites the great image on its feet, and it is scattered as dust to the wind. In fact, let's just go back and read that, and you will see the fourth carpenter in action. And we have got this. Let's go to the second chapter of Daniel, and let's pick it up at verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Okay? In fact, a little earlier, we saw that a whirlwind whirled away all of the pieces of these earlier kingdoms. Now, I hope I'm not being confusing here, but look, this fourth carpenter, look at what we just read in Daniel. That kingdom will stand forever. It will sweep away all the others. It will be set up by God, and it shall not be taken down or torn down. Now, once again, the terrible literalist that I am, if indeed it's terrible, it's the only way I know how to understand this book. Our Lord Jesus is indeed coming back. And he will indeed establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And he will reign and rule from Jerusalem. And every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Keep your eyes on Israel. You've heard me say it before. I will continue to say it. This is the thing that God is measuring by. As you see Israel blossoming, look for other things too. Look for the king of this world to rise up and to try once and for all to stamp out and to destroy Israel. I'm telling you, the enemy, our enemy, the devil, has never forgiven them and never will. He hates them with a deadly hatred. Remember that I said this, God will not allow it to be done. It is not going to happen. I don't care how desperate the situation gets. And everyone that rises up against Israel will be judged and will be destroyed. This fourth carpenter is, I am persuaded, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will be coming back. And I am persuaded rather shortly to you. Well, I can tell you this, before the Lord ever comes back to establish his kingdom physically on this earth, we will live through the worst period of time that this world has ever seen. It is called the Great Tribulation. If you are saved, and if you are a part of the church, you will not be left to live through that. The Lord Jesus will come back and will take his church out of here, and we will forever be with the Lord. Who is his church? Some organization? No. Some denomination? No. His church are all those born again by faith in Christ Jesus. Am I talking to you? If not, why don't you get saved right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.